The best in the business is on the biggest college football station in the country. It's Mr. College Football, Tony Barnard, exclusively on The Fan.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Mr. CFB, also at TonyBarnhart.com. Tony, good Tuesday morning. How are you?
It's all good, guys. I can't believe the season is almost half over.
Yeah, it is crazy, and I can't believe the season that Brian Herrien is having as well. I guess they call it yards after contact if you're a running back at Georgia, dog yards. We saw him get a lot of those on one carry in Knoxville the other night. We talked about him being bigger and stronger than he's ever been, and he's a guy that very quietly is having a career year, of course, Brian Herrien.
Well, and you're playing behind DeAndre Swift, and what do? You wait your turn. I mean, Georgia, since Kirby Smart's been there, they've gone, they want 2 1,000-yard rushes, not just one. And the combos have been very, very effective. And now it's Brian, this is Brian Herrien's turn now. And yes, he is absolutely running through tackles, which is what you want to have. And when people look at Georgia, they look at that offensive line and they look at depth at running back, and they said, you know what, these guys are going to wear us down. And Brian Herrien is one of the guys that does that.
I know he said it right after the game without looking at game film, but I was really interested. Instead of dwelling on the idea of what they didn't do against Tennessee in the first half, Kirby Smart actually sounded proud of this team. They made adjustments. It's one of the things you have to do at some point during a game, and to know you can do it must be a good feeling for a coach. But he also gets the teaching moment. If you want to take somebody lightly, understand we could be in a one-possession game for longer than we should be. Welcome to South Carolina week.
Exactly. And for Kirby, one of the reasons Kirby Smart was so excited at the end of that game, his team had passed a test that they had fallen behind on the road in a tough environment, you know, against a team that's not very good, but they were behind. And what did they do? They didn't panic. They just responded and methodically began to move the ball and take control of the game. And by the fourth quarter, Tennessee was gassed. And coaches love to watch their teams pass that kind of test.
Right, because we just imposed our will later. We were better
exactly.
than you. The mat drills, the runs, the sprints, and our size and everything else. So here's my question about Will Muschamp. Has he been there long enough where this is a barometer game? Because if he loses it, does he have to lose it in a fashion that they have to look like a team that's still on the come?
No, Will Muschamp is not in that position right now. While it's been disappointing, the North Carolina game was certainly a game that should not have lost. They're playing a brutal schedule. They just moved into a brand-new $50 million football complex, and they're recruiting well to that. Now, next year will be a show-me year for Will Muschamp, but I believe he's fine this year.
Tony, no, I didn't actually mean job security. I meant the idea of what he has. Has he recruited enough? Have they coached them up? Like a barometer of what they are, playing personality-wise. Can you play a team like this close enough where you're proving to your fan base and even to the team itself that you're better?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, there are incremental signs that the program is moving in an upward trajectory. And, yes, I think they are capable of doing that. They have run the ball a little bit better this year. People forget that they lost their fourth-year senior, four-year starter at quarterback in Jake Bentley, and they've got a young, talented kid in Helinski, but he can't do as much on the line of scrimmage as Jake Bentley could do. But, yeah, I think South Carolina can show. Hey, they handled Kentucky in their last game, a team they lost five straight to. And so that was a sign of improvement.
Tony Barnhart with us on the Loud Security Systems newsmaker line, TonyBarnhart.com. Check him out there. Check him out on Twitter at Mr. CFB. We talk about all the time the similarities, the parallels, if you will, between Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. Well, the one thing that Kirby seems to have that Nick Saban has never had is a reliable kicker. Matter of fact, perhaps the best kicker ever to kick at Georgia.
Rodrigo Blankenship has just been absolutely amazing. 11 for 11 this year. He's like 5 of 6 career over 50 yards. Chip Towers did a cute piece earlier this week. Oh, what about Rodrigo Vaheisman? And Kirby Smart said, sign me up. I'm ready. Let's go. When you have a weapon like that, you're basically telling your offense, get the ball across the 40 and we can score. Their 40 and we can score. And he is a tremendous weapon. I keep going back to the Rose Bowl game 2 years ago. The field goal he made at the end of the first half against Oklahoma absolutely changed the tone and the tenor of that game. And of course, Georgia came back to win it. He is he is an incredible weapon, and at a place where they've had a ton of great kickers, All-American kickers, guys like Kevin Butler, who's in the College Football Hall of Fame. Blankenship is proven to be as good as any kicker that Georgia's ever had.
Tony, I don't have the time right now, but I'm assuming the numbers that you gave us on LSU's offense, leading the nation, 57.8 points per game, and Florida's defense, 9.8. I don't think there'll be a bigger disparity in those two numbers. In other words, that the something's got to give. I don't think you can see as this wide a variance in those types of numbers in any college football game.
No, but the thing about this game is this is the first big-time defense that LSU's faced. Now, they're doing a tremendous job, okay? But the Texas defense they went up against was, you know, okay at best. This will be a legitimate SEC defense that absolutely confused Auburn's quarterback, Bo Nix, a week ago, and they will try to do the same. I think it's going to be a tremendous – I think LSU will win the game, but this will be by far the toughest defense that LSU's seen.
This screams, though, of a Florida offense, and I don't know if they're capable of wanting to play keep away. You cannot have your defense on the field
exactly.
All day long, and you really are going to have to control clock as much as any game they've played in years.
I said it on Monday. If this game gets into the 30s, Florida can't win that game, okay? They've got to keep this game in the 20s to have a chance because they cannot win a shootout with these guys.
We talk about, Tony, the second half of the season pretty much being upon us. We know the first college football playoff standings are going to be released on November the 5th, and this is what sets college football apart. You're talking about a ton of teams right now that could run the table, but conversely, some of these teams are going to play each other as well by the time November the 5th even rolls around.
Well, guys, remember the narrative before the season started. Oh, it's Alabama and Clemson, and nobody else needs to apply. Okay, well, guess what? That narrative's been shot down big time. Alabama has a defense that's not vintage Alabama, not even close, but a great offense. Clemson has, you know, their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, has struggled some, but they're still undefeated. But I've got at least on a column that I posted a little while ago, I've got at least 12 teams that if they ran the table, they can be in position for the playoffs. But they can't all run the table because a bunch of them play each other in the last 6 to 7 weeks of the season, which is why this starting Saturday, it really started last Saturday, we're going to have elimination games every single week, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Tony, because of the style is so different than what a lot of other teams play, do you give Wisconsin a chance? Because we just talked about what Florida can't do. Florida can't win a game, let's say, against LSU in the 30s. Can Wisconsin, with a Jonathan Taylor-led football team, be the team that you go, they're the outlier? Georgia's talented enough where you go, no, they can throw the football.
Not only that, Wisconsin and Ohio State might have to play twice.
That's what I mean.
Much like Texas and Oklahoma might have to play twice.
And it's a brand of football we don't see a lot of. Is it a brand of football that can actually beat one of the best teams in the country?
Yeah, because Wisconsin can do two things really well. One is run the ball and milk the clock, and the other is play defense. This may be one of the best defenses that Wisconsin has ever had. And if you can limit this great offense and Justin Fields at Ohio State, if you can limit them to two or three fewer possessions in the course of the game because you control the football, then you got a chance to keep it close, maybe make a play and win the game. So, yeah, Wisconsin is exactly the kind of team that can beat Ohio State.
All right, Tony, great stuff as always. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for the time.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, Tony.
Tony Barnhart, you can follow him on Twitter at Mr. CFB, TonyBarnhart.com as well.